Good morning, Mill City. So good to be together. Wonderful to see you. And I want to welcome everybody joining us online. Can we just give a warm welcome to everybody on live stream right now? Great to have you with us. Thanks for being here. My name's Aaron Stern. I'm the lead pastor here. And before we jump into the message, I just want to give a little update. We've had an exciting week here at Mill City. Just 2 days ago on Friday, we closed on our property, our future permanent home right there. Yeah. 2700 South LeMay. It is at the southeast corner of Drake and LeMay. That's right. Come on now. And we... Such an exciting day and wonderful to not only, that's step one. And so I want to give you just an idea of like what is coming in the next couple of months and in the next couple of years. The church that's in there is going to be leasing back from us for the next several months while they get their next property ready for them. During that process, we will begin the process of revitalization in the building and on the property. And so first thing that's happening here in the next couple of months will be replacing the roof, and then we will begin the design process and pulling permits and construction and all that kind of thing. And so in the meantime, Mill City students, middle and high school students, will be moving in at the end of July, and so that's going to be an exciting day for them. Yeah, that's right. And Week of Prayer will be there in August. Brotherhood will be there in September. So it's we will be doing some things there. We just won't be moving Sunday morning there until the future. So we'll keep you updated on all the progress and what's happening and that kind of thing. But in the meantime, I just want to take a moment and thank everybody who has given, prayed, looked around, sent text messages, what about this place, over the course of these last 12 years, and because it would not be possible without you. All participate in this process. And so if you've given, thank you. If you haven't, you can still give and contribute to the remodel budgets and expenses that are coming up. But we're so excited about where we are. And not only do I want to thank you, but let's together thank God for the ways that He has provided and led us and orchestrated all of this. So thank God, thank God. I don't know if you ever found yourself on an airplane and you're watching a movie and you hear over the loudspeaker, we are beginning our initial descent into Denver or wherever you're going. And then you check your movie and you're like, and you look at how much time is left and you estimate how long they said, you know, we'll be on the ground in about 20 minutes or whatever. And you're like, ooh, this is going to be close. Like, am I going to get the whole movie or am I going to miss the end, you know? And I've had those moments. The power cuts off and it's in the best part. And so when that's happening, or I'm like, maybe we'll take another lap around the airport, you know, or hopefully we can hang out on the runway for a little bit longer. The gate's not quite ready because I want to finish my movie. And over this last week, as I've mentioned to people that this is the last Sunday in our series called Pneuma, as we've been exploring who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does, they've been like, oh, I kind of wish we had another lap around the airport. And because I'm so interested, I'm learning, and I want to keep growing. And the beautiful thing is that learning about who the Holy Spirit is and engaging with the Holy Spirit is a lifelong, ongoing process. And so I pray that that hunger and desire for more doesn't say, well, the series is over, I guess I'm done, but actually sparks something that says I want to and can know more about who the Holy Spirit is in my life. And it's important because, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, don't be drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And that filled word, we talked about this last week, is a word that is a ongoing. In other words, filled ongoingly to overflowing. It is not just a one-time filling, it is an ongoing filling of the Spirit. Billy Graham, one of the greatest preachers of the last generation, said, everywhere I go, I find that God's people lack something. They're hungry for something. Their Christian experience is not all they expected. The desperate need of the nation today is that men and women who profess Jesus be filled with the Spirit. That was said a couple of decades ago, and I would suggest that it is just as relevant and true for us today. I find that there's lots of followers of Jesus who believe in the Holy Spirit, but are kind of like Switzerland. Like, believe in the Holy Spirit, but unengaged and uninvolved. But my hope is that for us individually and collectively as a house, that our hunger would rise, our engagement with the Holy Spirit would rise so that we can bless one another and bless the region and bless people around us. So one of the ways that I want to talk about engagement with the Holy Spirit is operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, before I jump into that, for if you were here last week, I told you I'd give you an update on the coughing lady. So if you're unfamiliar with the coughing lady, you can go back and listen to last week's message. And actually, if you missed any of these last several weeks' messages in this series, I highly encourage you to listen or to watch. But this lady across the street who's been coughing up a lung every time she sits out on her front porch, I sensed the Spirit encouraging me to go across the street and pray for her, because at first I'm like, I'll just pray from here, so this last week she was out sitting on her porch and coughing, and I went across and introduced myself, and she's a lovely lady named Birdie, and I said, are you okay? I noticed you coughing a lot, and is anything wrong? She's like, no, and then she showed me what she was smoking and contributing to her coughing, and I said, oh, okay, well, can I pray for you? And she said, yeah, sure. And so I just took a moment and prayed over Birdie and her life and prayed blessing over her and that she would experience the love of God. And I don't know, you know, there was no like anything dramatic or fantastical in the moment. And I don't know what that meant now or in the future. But my prayer is that we would be willing and open to respond to the movement of the Spirit of God, even if we don't understand why or what the reason was. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to move through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We're not going to read all of the verses throughout those chapters. We'll jump through it in order to, because of the sake of time. But in starting in verse 1, it says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and they have been asking questions about, and he has noticed things about their particular church and the ways in which their things need to be corrected. So he's giving some correction in these particular chapters. And he uses the terminology gifts of the Spirit, which also can be, maybe you've heard, spiritual gift. They are interchangeable. The Greek word for spiritual gift or gifts of the Spirit is charism. It is where the word charismatic comes from. If you've maybe heard that or heard of a charismatic church, it is talking about an expression of or embracing of the gifts of the Spirit. The definition of charism is a unique grace given and empowered by the Holy Spirit to individual Christians. And so that unique grace is for a particular purpose or to do a particular thing. Oftentimes you might wonder, well, how do I know? And really, it's operating in a gift brings you joy. It is effective, or maybe even more effective. You feel energized and fulfilled as you operate in them. What's important for us to know and to say as we start this is that they are gifts, which means that they are not earned. They are given freely. They are given at the determination of the Holy Spirit, but it is not, well, I have to have prayed enough, I have to have known Jesus enough, I have to have read my Bible enough, I have to understand this or that enough. Gifts are given, and they are given freely. A couple of verses later, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. In other words, you know how like Christmas, your kids might say, if you have kids, or maybe you did as a kid, you went to your parents, hey, this is what I want for Christmas. And you kind of told them what you wanted, and though you got the gift, you got what you asked for. The gifts of the Spirit are given without us saying, well, this is what I want or not. It is something that has been deposited into us at the Spirit's determination. And it says that he says there are different kinds of gifts. There's three different places throughout the Scripture where there are lists of the gifts of the Spirit. each list is not identical to the other. There are some overlap, but I would like to suggest, even if you take all of this list and combine it into one big list, that it's not exhaustive. In these three particular chapters, it mentions prophecy, teaching, distinguishing between spirits, evangelism, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, pastoring, encouragement, miracles, healing, service, helping, leading, administration, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, faith, giving, mercy. So I would suggest that these would be kind of some of the additional ones that might be added that aren't in these particular lists. Worship. You ever seen somebody gifted by the Holy Spirit to lead worship? Music, intercession, martyrdom. That gift you only get to use once. Craftsmanship, singleness. Some of you are like, please don't give me that gift, God. Writing, missions, poverty, deliverance, and so on. The Spirit is the one who determines it, and the Spirit is the one who repels them. But this is what's really important for us to understand, is that everyone has gifts. Every single person, online, in this room, everybody, as a follower of Jesus, you have a gift. Everyone has a gift. Amby has a gift. George has a gift. Karen has a gift. Sammy has a gift. Will has a gift. Each and every person has a gift or gifts, determined by and given by and propelled by the Holy Spirit. No one has been forgotten or overlooked. It is a myth that I would love to dispel that somehow leaders or only people on platforms have gifts. Every single person has a gift to be used. Now, what's a travesty, I read recently that 80% of followers of Jesus do not know what their gifts are. They don't know what their spiritual gifts are. They don't know what their unique charism is. Can you imagine if 80% of your body didn't know what it was for? Not sure that we would have made it in here today. And so hopefully we would have a desire to know what it is that we are gifted at as determined by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7, just a few verses later, it says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit is given for the common good." This is highly important. It's highly important that we realize that it is not, even though it's given to an individual, it is not primarily for an individual. There are benefits for the individual, but that is not the primary reason it is given. I have four boys, and some of you, if you've been around for a little while, have heard this. They like to flex. You ever go to the gym, and you got somebody who's like just in front of the mirror, and you know, just trying to get the muscle to pop out, and you're like, man, I hope you're enjoying that because it's not doing anybody else any good around here. And that's when we think about gifts, it's not like, oh, look at that, man, I can pray. Oh, look at that. Like whatever your gift is, isn't so you can go flex in the mirror. My boys, they don't need mirrors. They just flex all around the house. Hey, Mom, look at this, and look at this, and they're just showing off. And you know what I say to them? Muscles are for service, not for status. And the same thing is true. Gifts are not for status. They are for service. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." See, spiritual gifts are for the building up of the people of God for their life together, to bless the church, bless one another, and in the world, to bless the world. And he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ." This is a common metaphor by the Apostle Paul talking about the people of God and how we need one another and fit together, and each person plays a part. And just as in the body, the elbow is important, but an elbow by itself doesn't do any good. "For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So if you don't utilize your gift, it's not that you're not part of the body. It's just that the body isn't able to function in its fullness. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. As I said a moment ago, everyone has a gift. But what's important on top of that is that every gift is needed. Every gift that each one of us in this room have are needed for one another. In order for the finger, the thumb, to work well, it needs the bones in the hand and in the wrist, and it needs the bones in the tendons and the muscles and the skin and all the things to make this thumb work. We need one another. We can't be apart. There's no isolationists in the body of Christ. And so what's important here is that we don't compare. Actually, comparison is normal. It's that we don't make judgments based on comparison. I mean, we always notice if somebody's taller or shorter. That's a comparison, but which is fine to notice, but if we make a judgment and determine, actually, I want what they've got. I wish I was. Why didn't you? So when comparison leads to envy, it sounds like, I wish I had her gift. Or, God, why didn't you make me like him? But God doesn't ask for what we don't have. God doesn't ask us for what they have. God asks for us to utilize what we have. And too often we compare and we envy because we've slipped into thinking that the more visible gifts are somehow more significant. I'm not going to read the passage, but if you continue in this passage, the Apostle Paul talks about how actually the gifts or the parts of the body that are less seen are oftentimes more important and vital than the ones that are seen. In other words, you could cut my thumb off and the body can still function. Take the heart out and it will not live. There are ways that there's things that are not seen that need to be celebrated and valued just as much as what is. You could take your eye out, have no eye, but you can still live and still function, but that isn't the case if you take your lungs out. Right? There's ways that we need to be able to celebrate any and all parts of the body of Christ. And too often, what ends up happening in my experience is that particular gifts get exalted over others. And so if you grew up in church or have been around different churches or streams of within the body of Christ, you sometimes will find that different streams or churches will emphasize particular gifts and somehow, maybe intentional, maybe not, elevate them as somehow more important or more significant. In some churches, it's the gift of tongues. In other churches, it's teaching. In other churches or places, it's mercy. In other places, it might be healing. But the reality is all of them are needed. All of them are needed for the body to operate and to function. And so the goal then for each one of us is to concentrate on the gifts that God has given us and trust that God has formed the body with great wisdom and care. But can we believe that what God has given you, what he has given me, what he has given us individually, is in fact what is needed for where you are and with the people that you might be in contact with. Moving on into chapter 13, verse 1, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels. He's talking about the gift of tongues. In this particular, if you're unfamiliar with like, what is tongues? Like, we all have a tongue, right? He's talking about more like tongue, like language. And referring to somebody, we saw this in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, where the apostles became, at that particular moment, spontaneously multilingual, speaking a language that was unknown to them. And it could be an earthly language or it could be a heavenly language. So if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, And if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. So here he is highlighting a few different gifts: tongues, prophecy, faith. Here's another one: giving. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. What is he saying? Gifts are worthless without love. That's a strong statement, but that's what he's saying. It's just loud noise. And so what is the goal? It is for the gifts of the Spirit to be operated in and exercised within the context of the fruit of the Spirit. Done in love, gently, kindly. Too often what happens, you might see this with somebody with a desire or gift for evangelism. Well, I'm going to tell people about Jesus, but they're mean. That doesn't exemplify the fruit of the Spirit of kindness, gentleness, and love. They go together. And done without love can actually undermine the reality of the gift that's trying to be expressed. Energy, volume, emotionalism are not necessarily evidence of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is an evidence of the gift of the Spirit. See, sometimes we think, well, if somebody's operating in a gift, that somehow they must be mature. But really, if you've been following Jesus for a week, you have a gift or gifts from the Holy Spirit. If you've been walking with Jesus for decades, you have gifts. Every one of us, like I said, has gifts. So to operate in them is not necessarily a sign of maturity, because you can operate in them immaturely or maturely. If you continue on here in these passages within 1 Corinthians, he starts addressing like things being in order and how many times you might hear a prophetic word or something like that. And so maturity is not marked by having gifts. Maturity is marked by exercising the gifts in order, in love, and in submission to Jesus. So somebody can operate in a gift and totally be about themselves. Can totally be doing it out of order or not in a loving manner. Or in other words, I'm not serving you, I'm actually serving myself. And so the goal then is to, yes, grow in and exercise gifts well, but to exercise them in love, in order, and in submission to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now you might be like, Aaron, I thought you just said there's no like exalting, but it seems like he's exalting prophecy. He's actually saying that because of what he's about to say in reference to speaking in tongues. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them, and they utter mysteries by the Spirit, which is kind of cool to think about. You can think about that later. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So in other words, he's saying, somebody could say like, I don't know what you're talking about, or something said in our case, English, or your mother tongue is strengthening, encouraging, and comforting, rather than, I don't know what you're doing. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Here we are back to, for the common good. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. So in talking about the comparison between prophecy and tongues, he's not saying, so don't do that. He's just saying, I wish all of you do this and it will edify you, but when you're with others, make sure that it is for the common good. Verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. So here he is talking about and differentiating between personal edification and corporate or common collective edification. And so what he's talking about are these gifts that bless others. And so in particular, he's talking about tongues. And we see, as I mentioned in Acts chapter 2, we saw the way that the apostles speaking in another language, which they didn't understand, blessed the people around them who did understand it. And you're like, well, how did that happen? Like, did Peter start speaking in this particular language? And maybe he actually was speaking that language and they heard that. And it says that they heard their language in praising God in that, in what they understood, or maybe he was speaking what seemed like gibberish, but what was heard through the hearer's ears was their language praising God. I don't know. We don't know. Doesn't matter. But somehow the hearer hears their language. And I've heard of stories of both. We see it in Acts chapter 2. I've heard of, I know of a missionary who was caught in a dangerous situation and sensed from the Spirit to pray in the Spirit, speak in tongues, and they ended up speaking the language of the person that was attacking them, and it totally diffused the situation, and they were not harmed, and everything dissolved and went away. I know of a missionary who was, this is an amazing story, was called to Haiti and found herself in Haiti thinking, God, why did you call me here? I can't even speak the language. And she just prayed and asked God, and she had Creole deposited into her heart and mind, and since that day has been able to speak Creole. Like, unbelievable. That's a pretty amazing gift from the Holy Spirit. I also know of another story where a group of people gathered around her to pray, and they started praying over her. And so she said, hey, would you mind recording this? You know, I'd like to be able to go back to this. She said, while she was being prayed over, somebody prayed for her and prayed for some things that nobody else knew in her life and felt like God was speaking specifically to her. So she went back later to listen to the recording, and what was said was not in English, it was said in tongues. But she heard it in English in her head, or in through her ears. So how it happens, when it happens, I don't know. Sometimes we get caught up in the minutia of trying to figure that out instead of just saying, God, if you've got it, I want it. Now, I want to highlight one particular thing, and that is that I believe that we have the ability to operate in all the gifts. Now, you might say, well, Aaron, I thought you said that the Spirit determines what gifts are given, which would indicate that it's not all of them. What I mean by that is this. On an individual basis, we have the ways that we can express it or lean into it. So, for instance, somebody might have the gift of faith, but it says in the Scripture that we all have a measure of faith, and it takes faith to put our trust in Jesus. Somebody might have the gift of healing, but it doesn't mean that if you don't have the gift of healing, you don't pray for someone to be healed. Or somebody might have the gift of giving, and if you're like, I don't have the gift of giving, doesn't mean you don't give. My wife has the gift of mercy. Doesn't mean that I am like, I don't have the gift of mercy. No need for me to be merciful. Like, I know some people that have the gift of hospitality. It's like amazing. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't all try in some way to be hospitable. And so the same thing would apply then to things like faith or healing or tongues or prophecy. And so some people differentiate the gift of tongues, which must be interpreted for the common good, or like what the Apostle Paul talks about here in this particular passage, as a personal prayer language. Now, I could have taken, of all the gifts, a bunch of other gifts to highlight here today, but in my couple of decades of being a pastor, the questions I get the most about gifts are about tongues and prophecy and things like that. So I thought, well, the Scripture talks about it in a pretty regular way, and so I think it's worth just unpacking a bit today. So trying to be faithful to the text. I want to just highlight one particular story about a woman named Jackie Pullinger. She was a missionary to Hong Kong, and she was working in Hong Kong in a particular area and district of Hong Kong that had a lot of drug dealers and drug addiction and that kind of thing. And she was faithful to communicate the hope and the life of Jesus in this particular place. And some of these drug addicts were coming to Jesus, and she would pray for them to experience freedom. And you know, a few weeks later, they'd come back to her high again and unable to break the addiction. And she said, I want you to start praying in the Spirit on a regular basis every day. And as they did that every day, they would come back to her a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, still free and totally the addiction and bondage to drugs being broken. And so they'd tell their friend, and they'd be like, hey, you got to go talk to this lady. and they give their life to Jesus. She'd tell them about that. And I don't know if that's a formula, but it was something that worked in her particular area as they followed the work of the Spirit, because they were strengthened, they were built up, and as a result, they were able to stand in the freedom that was available to them. An amazing, amazing story. And so we want to be people who are working in partnership with the Holy Spirit. If you have the gift of giving, the Holy Spirit doesn't come alongside you and take your wallet out and just give for you, right? We have to be in partnership and in obedience to sense or walk across the street or pray for somebody or operate in that gift. In the same way, can I just encourage you? Let's be like Paul. I wish you all would speak in tongues. Why? So you can edify yourself. And so is the Holy Spirit going to put you into a trance? No, you just... just lean into that. If you have more questions about it, ask the prayer team, but just start asking. I want to repeat a story that I started off the entire series with. I did grow up in a charismatic church. I grew up around hearing other people pray in the Spirit and was encouraged to pray in the Spirit and encouraged to prophecy was something that I would hear every now and then. And there's just different things, the gifts of the Spirit were encouraged. But then as I grew older, I found myself in other places sometimes where maybe somebody abused or misused or used immaturely gifts of the Spirit in ways that I felt like were manipulative or self-serving, ways that turned me off because I thought, you know, if that's what operating in the Spirit looks like, no thank you. But as I was studying for a series and a teaching on the Holy Spirit years ago, I came across 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and I had read it before, but as I read it, there was a few lines that stuck out, and it was the lines that is repeated that says, eagerly desire the works of the Spirit. And I felt myself in that moment convicted by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Aaron, you're eagerly resisting the works of the Spirit. And it was in that moment that I had a heart posture that says, God, if you've got it, I want it. I may not understand it, but I want it. I want to use it maturely, but I want it. I don't want to use it immaturely, but I still want it. I don't understand it. Maybe somebody else has used it poorly, but I still want it. God, if you've got it, I want it. As a way of having a heart posture that one time when I was in Colorado Springs, I asked the guy, we were talking about this, and he says, well, I just asked God not to give me, and he listed off the gifts he didn't want. But to me, that's not the posture of God. If you've got it, I want it. It's not following the text that says, eagerly desire the works and gifts of the Spirit. Or somebody else that I was talking to said, I don't think that's necessary. Now, we can determine whether it's necessary or not, but at the end of the day, if God's got it, I want it. So what if we somehow just said, I don't understand everything, but God, I just want to have an open, surrendered heart to you, and I want to grow in the not just the gifts of the Spirit, but I want to operate and exercise them in the fruits of the Spirit. See, abuse or immature use, manipulation, emotionalism of the gift of the Spirit is not a good reason to be closed to the gifts of the Spirit. And so our weekly practice is to read 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. Read them in their entirety to get a broader understanding of what we've talked about and touched on here today. But in that also to ask the Holy Spirit and others to help you identify and practice your gifts. Like I mentioned earlier, 80% of the body of Christ doesn't know what their gifts are. Some of you maybe in this room say, I'm not exactly sure. And we sometimes can find out by somebody else telling us. If somebody knows you well, they might be able to help you. Like, I wonder about this one. I see this possibly. So there's ways that not only can somebody else help us at least start the journey of figuring that out, but also then create safe spaces for us to be able to practice them. A city group is a wonderful place to be able to potentially share. I think I have a word from God, like maybe a prophetic word. And you say, I don't know if this is right. Do you mind if I just put it out here and share it with you? And if it's wrong, that's okay. I'm willing to be wrong, to offer it in humility, in love. Those are wonderful places to practice. Because sometimes practice, you know, when you start practicing, you're not very good at something, but it takes practice to get better at something. Be more sensitive to God's voice. to just know how to operate in that particular gift. And so, ask the Holy Spirit. You also can take tests. There's some different like tests online that help get that process started. If you join our lift team, the team that serves on Sundays and in the auditorium, outside of the auditorium, set up, tear down, and kids, and Mill City students, young adults, and city groups, all the things all throughout our church. There's people serving and giving of their time and energy. One of the things we ask for anybody joining the team is to take a gifts test, just as a way to start the conversation, because our desire is that everyone would find themselves serving in the place of gifting, not just in the place of need. Like, even if we have a particular need, we want somebody serving in their places of gifting, because you'll be energized, you'll also be more effective in that place. It's exactly what we want for every one of us. One of my gifts is teaching. Teaching, leadership, and faith are my top three. And so it is energizing for me to be here. It's energizing. Somebody one time said, how in the world do you do three times? And I, you know, what they do administration, I'm like, how in the world do you do, you know? Like, we all have different gifts. We all are energized and fulfilled by different things. We have Serve Day coming up here in a few weeks. And an opportunity for us as the body of Christ to collectively mobilize our church. See, the goal of our church is not to say, look how big we are. The goal of our church is to say, let's use, not just, hey, everybody, look at the, no, let's utilize the size that we have to mobilize, to bless our region. And so, it's kind of like, hi, Eli. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
So you might be like, well, I don't know, and how does this work? And, you know, like, I kind of tried, and you kind of feel like you sound like this. And everybody around you, you know, you might be thinking, this is so annoying. Like, really annoying. So you're like, and so we might walk away. But what if this is just a part of something bigger? And you don't get it quite right sometimes, and then you thank God for you guys. And so, by myself, not very effective. Rhythm is not my strength. But this with Eli, all of a sudden somebody comes alongside you, or your elbow by yourself doesn't do much, but an arm bone comes alongside and starts to make the elbow make sense. Somebody else starts to fill in. And what at first sounded annoying starts to be a part of something bigger. And what was maybe like awkward now isn't the primary annoying thing, but it actually is part of something making beautiful sounds for the world around us. What if you, in your gifting, kind of feel like, I don't know what I have to offer. I don't know what it is. It seems kind of annoying to me. But it's just waiting. God's just waiting for you to operate in such a way that somebody else comes alongside to somehow, together, communicate something much bigger. And so, before you know it, you've got my little sound, your little sound, comes together, and let's listen to us. Listen to me. Listen to Eli. Listen to his team. And that's what God has for us. That's what God has for you. Like, you by yourself, we're missing something. We're missing something. We're missing you. We're missing the gifts. We're missing the blessing. Somebody else is missing out on the blessing of your life, partnered with another life. Your gift partnered with other gifts for the common good. your life, what you think is awkward and how you don't understand how it fits together for something beautiful, fits together for something that will impact the world, impact others, will bless others, will help others, will serve others. Thanks, Eli. You guys can just keep playing, all of you, just keep playing for a little bit. Come on now. And that's how it's supposed to work. That's how it's supposed to work. Each one of us playing our part. You have a gift. God has a gift inside of you. It might be sitting there dormant. He's just waiting for you to say, God, if you've got it, I want it. I want to be in partnership with you. God, I don't know how this works, but here you go. I'm going to try this. So what if, just even in this moment, like Holy Spirit, I know you've given me gifts. Would you help me to see them? And when I see them, would you help me practice them? Would you help me operate in them? Would you connect me to other people so that they start to make sense together? What sometimes seems like it's out by its own is actually supposed to be connected to someone and something else. And together blesses others and it blesses the world. And in the meantime, and in doing that, I get edified and I get encouraged and I get strengthened and I get blessed and I feel fulfilled. But I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it for others. And it just is a benefit and a blessing to me, to the church, and to the world around us. For some of you, maybe in this moment, it's a moment of repentance. Saying, God, I've been that guy or I've been that girl that's like, that's not necessary. Or I'm praying, don't give me that one. Or I don't want to operate in that. And God, I just want to repent for eagerly resisting when I want to eagerly desire. I want to be the part of the body of Christ that you've made me to be. Seen or unseen. All significant. All needed. I offer myself to you. For some of you, maybe here today, you've never just surrendered your life to Jesus. I've never thought of like saying, Holy Spirit, empower the gifts in me, but your invitation today is to cross the line of faith and essentially say, God, I give you my life, which is a beautiful exchange. And it's not a fair exchange. You give God your life, he gives you his, and gifts and empowerment and the Holy Spirit. I mean, it is new life. It is way unfair, and it is weighted in our favor. And so it's really simple, sincere, under your breath prayer, Jesus, I give you my life. Would you use me? I am yours. Help me to be a vessel. Help me to operate in the gifts that you've given. Whether for the first time or the first time in a long time, surrendering your life to Jesus. And for all of us, I want to take a moment and pray that we all would surrender ourselves to the will and the ways of God. Father, we need you. And we thank you that you are such a good, generous Father. You don't hold back sparingly, but you pour out generously. You give wisdom, you have counsel, you have comfort, and you give gifts, not for our own spiritual flexing, but to serve. So would you rise up a spirit of service in each one of us? Would you empower us and give us courage? For those of us who maybe in the room are feeling insecure to somehow step out, would you give us courage? Courage to welcome the work of your Holy Spirit, to partner with you. Help us to learn about, find clarity around gifts and what ours are and how we can best operate them in them. And no matter what our gifts are, may we celebrate and enjoy them, but also eagerly desire the work of the Spirit and gifts in our lives. Pray for strengthening, edification, connect us with your Spirit in greater ways. Fill us to overflowing. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen.